All right, we're going to pick up with our story in Jonah. And Jonah, let's be in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds so we're receptive to your word today, Lord. And I would ask that anything that might be distracting us be gone. Lord, we don't need to worry about anything right now. We just need to be in your word. And all of God's people said.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to pick up with our story with Jonah. Last time we left Jonah, what was he doing? Sleeping. Where was he sleeping?
In the
bottom of the boat. So last time we left our guy Jonah, he's sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. So let's pick up with the story. Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 to 5.
But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep.
Fast asleep. I mean, how many of you would love to be fast asleep sometime? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, many of us struggle trying to get some rest sometimes, don't we? Who struggles going to sleep? Anybody struggle? You just struggle, right? Tossing and turning and tossing and turning. Well, let's think about that for just a second. You know, the reason why you're tossing and turning is not because you don't have a bed. You got a bed.
Yeah.
And not because you don't have a pillow, because you got a pillow. And not because you don't have a blanket, you probably got one of them too. And not because you're on the street, you're probably in the house, you're laying in the bed, you got a blanket, you got a nice comfortable pillow, and you're still what? Tossing and turning. Huh. It's not because you're afraid of somebody coming in and getting you. It's not because you don't have any food to eat. It's not because you probably don't have the heat on. It's because your mind is what? Racing. How many's got a mind that just races and races and races? How many have a CD player of a mind that won't shut off, right? All right. Now let's take that abstract for just a second. Let's talk about Jonah. Jonah is what? Fast asleep. So what's his mind doing?
Nothing.
He is at what?
Peace.
He's at peace. He just ran from God. But his mind is what? He's fine. He's great. He's got not a care in the world. He just disobeyed God. He ran from God, but he's just what? Fast asleep. Because he thinks he what? Got away with it. You know when you sin, you always think you got away with it. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
You always think you slid one in, didn't you? Boy, I just got away with that one, boy. Slid it right in. And Jonah is fast asleep because he thought what? Got away with it. I titled this message for you today, "Oh, you can run, but guess what? You can't hide." Oh, you can run, but you cannot hide. How many people do you think wander away from God from time to time? It's easy to deceive ourselves and think we got over on God. We stepped out of His will. Boy, he didn't see that one coming. He was off doing important things. He was making the universe go. And when we slid that one in, we think we got away with it. Anytime we walk out of God's will, church, we sin. I want you to think about Jonah for just a second. Have you ever heard of anybody in your entire life say to you, "You know, that God you worship, he's too loving"? Have you ever heard anybody say that to you? "You know that God you worship, he's too merciful. He's just too full of grace. That God that all those Christians, you know, worship, he's too forgiving. He's too merciful." I have never in all of my years doing this ever heard somebody say that to me. Not one time have I ever heard somebody say that to me. But what's Jonah thinking? God's too loving. He's too merciful. He's too forgiving. What I want him to do is rain justice on who? The Ninevites. I want him to pour out his judgment. I wonder how many of us at times have thought the same thing about others. I don't want you to, I want justice, God. I want you to rain down. That's what I want you to do. Rain down. That's what we want. Many of us in this room today, there's two feelings that you are capable of feeling, and you have felt them in the past. And everybody can feel these two. Let's just suppose that you have one son. And let's just suppose that you came home one day and you found out that your son was brutally murdered. And you know who did it. And you know who did it. And you reached into your drawer, you pulled out a gun, you went to the person's house, and you shot him dead. How many can understand that feeling? That's called revenge. And most of us cry out for that. Revenge. Well, let's just suppose that you had one son. Let's just suppose that you came home one day and you found out that your son had been brutally murdered, and you know who did it. And you called the police, they arrested the person who did it, and they went through the justice system. And you're sitting in the courtroom, and a victim advocate comes up to you with a district attorney and says to you, what do you want was justice? What do you want done? You want me to throw the book at him? Yeah. How many say, throw the book at him?
Yeah.
If that person went through the system and was sentenced to death by, you know, injection, at the end of that next time when that person was put to death by injection, you would say, now justice has been served. How many agree with that? See, we understand revenge. We understand justice. But just suppose you had one child. And just suppose that he was brutally murdered and you know who did it. And so you go to the person's house who did it, and you forgive them. And you throw your arms around them, and you tell them that you love them. And then you give them something to wear, you give them something to eat, and you invite them to your house. Will you take care of them for the rest of their life?
No.
You're right, no. That's called mercy. And see, that's what God did for you.
Thank you.
Mercy. Because see, God only had but one son. And he was brutally murdered. And God knows exactly who did it. And guess who did it? We did it. Oh, we would all love to say that the Jews did it. And we would all love to say that Rome did it. But the truth of the matter is, guess who did it? We did it. Because if we were not sinners, he wouldn't have had it done it. How many know he died for you? And for me. And God knows who did it. We did it. And he shows us what?
Mercy.
How many are glad for God's mercy? He shows you mercy. And he takes you to his house. And he takes care of you for the rest of what? Forever. Is God too merciful now? Well, not when it pertains to you. But is God too merciful to others? And you know what? That's a big fat depends, isn't it? That's a big fat depends. Well, it all depends on what? Who it is. And it all depends on what they did. And it all depends on to whom what? They did it. And Jonah is saying, wait a second. I want you to show the mercy for me. I want you to be gracious to me. But I don't want you to show it for who? Them. I want you to pour out your judgment on them. I wonder how many of us have a list of Ninevites in our own life. Oh, it may not be a whole group of people. It might just be a Ninevite. One Ninevite. The neighbor across the street that bugs you. That Ninevite. Or maybe the person who works in the cubicle next to you. That Ninevite. Or maybe the relative in your life that you just can't stand. Maybe it's that Ninevite. But how many know we all got at least one Ninevite, don't we? How many's bold enough to say in this room you got at least one Ninevite in your life? And what you want is what? God to rain judgment on them? How many want God to be merciful to them? And even those of us that say we want God to be merciful, God says to you what the Pope said to the Congress, and I love this part, the yardstick you use will be the yardstick that's used against you. How many want the same mercy to you as you give to that Ninevite in your life? How many want more mercy for yourself? That's not the way. Guess what? It works. Not the way that it works. Oh, Jonah's on the run. He's on board on the boat. Fast asleep. He thinks he got away with it. He thinks he got away with it. But guess what? You can run. But you cannot hide. And guess what? It's time to wake Jonah up. Let's turn to Jonah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 5.
But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had got down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep.
Jonah needs to pay attention now. And so the Lord God is going to get his attention. Jonah's fast asleep. And God wants to get Jonah's attention. And so he causes this massive storm. Massive storm. Kind of like the hurricane that's coming up the eastern seaboard. Anybody praising God that made a right-hand turn? Well, how many of you heard that it didn't hit us, but it hit a cargo ship? How many heard about the cargo ship? It was in the eye of the storm. And Sissy and I was talking about, it was either 13 or 33, I forget how many people were on board. But they called out the distress signal. And then the last thing somebody knew that the ship was starting to take on water. Now how many know it's a pretty bad day when you're on a cargo ship in the middle of a hurricane? How many would not want to be on that ship? In the middle of the eye of the hurricane. Now how many's ever been in the ocean when they had like a little riptide thing going on? How many know that's not a good day when that happens, right? Imagine being in the storm in the middle of a hurricane on a cargo ship. Guess what? They haven't found it, I don't think, have they? Now maybe some miraculous event of a holy God, maybe that thing's parked somewhere. But how many probably know what happened to the cargo ship? That's what's going on here. I don't want you to think like they're in the middle of Lake Arthur. Like Moraine State Park. They're not in Lake, you know, Lake Arthur and Moraine State Park on a pontoon with a little windy day. No, they're in the middle of a storm like the one that just swallowed up the cargo ship. You kind of get an idea how that works? The mariners are afraid they're going to die. It's one of those kind. These are mariners, which means what? They're used to being on ships, right? This storm is so big, like the one that just swallowed up the cargo ship. Like that big. Like that big. And what is Jonah doing? Sleeping. Now, how many of you be able to sleep in that storm?
No.
How many of you be crying out to the Lord, Lord God, whatever it is I've done, forgive me now, Lord. I had Pastor Tom, you know, he was preaching the salvation, but I'm ready now, Lord. I am so ready now. How many be so ready now? Lord, in case I forgot anything I ever prayed about, I'm not forgetting about it now, Lord. That'd be your sense of urgency moment, right? How many be waking up by that time, right? But what is Jonah doing? Sleeping. Peaceful, restful sleep. It says in that scripture, they have never seen anything quite like this storm. Hardened sailors, used to dangers of the life of the sea, but this time they're afraid they're going to die. So what did they do? What did they do? It says in verse 5, they were afraid and every man cried out, what?
His God.
Now I need you to pay attention. It's critically important. They cried out to his God. Little g, they cried out to his God. How many gods were there? Probably as many as were on the ship. Right? Because it says they cried out to each of their gods. Each one cried out to their God. It's important that you understand that. I'm going to get to that in a minute. It says they cried out to what? Their God. And they threw the cargo that they brought with them into the sea to lighten the load. That's how afraid they were. But what's Jonah doing?
Sleeping.
Peaceful, restful. I got over on you, God. Sleep. It's kind of like, you know, if you ever were in trouble, ever, for whatever reason, you know, and you stand before a judge, and they say, you know what, let's just forget about the whole thing. Here's your warning. How many ever got a warning for a speeding ticket or anything? Anybody ever get a warning? How many know that feeling when the lights are going whoop, 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 whoop? How many ever had the experience of having the lights going whoop, whoop, whoop? Right? Sissy and I, one time, we forgot to put a sticker on our car in Avalon, right? Remember when they pulled us over at McDonald's or the Old Economy in Bellevue? I had Bellevue, Avalon, and Ohio Township all convening on our car at the same time. And I said, oh, put your hands up, you know, what's going on here? It was a sticker.
What'd you do?
What's that? I don't know. I thought it was after you. But, and then the officer comes up and says, you know, this time I'm going to give you what?
The
warning. And how much peace do you get at that time? Is it one of these? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, that's what he's doing. Oh, thank you. I got away with this one. I'm sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But how many of you know that life can change in a moment? The storms can come when?
Anytime.
Man, you can be calm, sea as glass. Close your eyes, and the winds will be raging. There can be troubles. There can be sicknesses. And there can be death. There can be financial collapses. Problems happen to who?
Everybody.
And when do they happen?
Anytime.
Every time. Every time. How many's going through a storm today? Anybody have a storm today? Okay, we got some storms here. Who did not have a storm last year like you have today? Okay, we have some new storms, right? We have some new storms. And when do they happen? Is anybody oblivious to the storms of life? You know, we have our grandkids here today. We have even Riley, who's 13, we have Layla, that's 12, we go on down, we got Jonah and Jacob, we got this little precious little girl here, we got all Kelly's kids here. You know, they haven't learned yet what we've learned. You know what some of us have learned? You ain't going to get out of life without a storm. How many's learned that in your life? How many know you're going to get a phone call you don't want? How many's ever got the phone call you don't want? You get the phone call that you don't want, you get the diagnosis you wish you hadn't had. You're going to hear about a family member that's going through a crisis you wish they hadn't. You're going to find out you ain't got enough money in the pocket to pay the bills that's coming due. How many's ever been in that situation? Everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a turn. And when you go through life and you say, well, what's wrong with me? No, what's wrong with you is because you're in a fallen world. And because you're in a fallen world, guess who gets a turn, Jimmy? Everybody gets a turn. And the sailors, it's now their turn. So what do they do? What do they do in the middle of the storm? I showed you. What are they doing? They're praying to their God. And they're looking at throwing everything overboard. They're not even looking at the problem. Isn't that something? When the storms of life come, what do? You throw everything out of your life, but accept the problem. Accept the problem. How many know, if you continue to do the same thing you've always done, you will be where you always are? How many understand that's true? That's a law of nature. If you do what you always do, guess what? You'll be where you always are. Is that fair? Yes. It is fair. Let's turn to Jonah, chapter 1, verse 6.
So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God, Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.
Mm-hmm. Jonah is going to get a little wake-up call. It's important that you understand that when you sin, and you think the only one you're affecting is you, you are wrong. That when you sin in your life, you are affecting others. How many know that's absolutely true? When you think it's only you, you're wrong. You are affecting who? Others. When you sin, you think it's all by yourself, you're affecting others around you too. How many are part of a family? Who's part of a family? No matter how big it is, big or small, how many is part of a family? How many understand that what your actions will affect everybody in that group? How many know that's absolutely true? Your actions affect everybody in the group. Let me give you something to think about. Jacob, come here a minute, Jacob. Let me give you something to think about. Here's my grandson, Jacob. Hi, Jacob. I call him Jacubby. He's Jacob. Now, let's just suppose that I want to hang out with my grandson, Jacob. And I just left the hospital from seeing some patients. Right? So I go see some patients, and I know I'm going to pick up this guy to come to my house. Now, I'm going to make absolutely sure that I do something with my hands. What are they? I'm going to wash them. Because I was just with some patients, and I want to go pick up my grandson, Jacob. So I'm going to wash my hands. How many would do the same thing? I might even have some stuff to squirt on my hands. How many knows what that stuff is? Has anybody got any of your squirty stuff with them right now? Show me your squirty stuff. Show me your squirty stuff. Okay, we got some squirty stuff, right? We got some squirty stuff. Can I see your squirty stuff? Okay, we all got some squirty stuff, right? How many's got some squirty stuff in your car? Anybody got some squirty stuff in your car? Awesome! Awesome. That's the way it is, right? Everybody got some squirty stuff, right? Everybody got some squirty stuff. So I want to make sure I don't contaminate this little guy because he's my grandson. So I take the squirty stuff and I squirt it all over my hands. I rub it real good, right? How many know that squirty stuff in a cut really gets your excitement? How many do I put the squirty stuff on like chapped hands? Woo, right? So I want to make sure I don't contaminate this guy. So I take the squirty stuff, I squirt it on my hands, I rub it off. So I'm all cleaned up, right? I'm all cleaned up. I didn't clean the inside, did I? How many know I can contaminate him a whole lot worse with what's in here than what's on here? Is that true?
Yes.
I can contaminate this little grandson a lot worse for what's inside of here and what's inside of here than what's on here. I wonder how many people have we contaminated in our life? Not by what's on here, but what's in here and what's in here. I wonder how many lessons we've taught. How many people have we contaminated by what we say, by what we do, by what we watch, by where we go? How many know that's the danger? The danger is not the squirty stuff, right? That's not the danger. Thank you, buddy. And so Jonah's in the bottom of the boat. And he has affected by his sinfulness and by his disobedience, he has affected who? Everybody where? On the boat. Not just him. Not just him. He's affected everybody on the boat. And he has affected them to such a degree that there's a possibility of them what? Dying. Just by simply saying what? No. Just by saying no. Everybody else got affected. But does he care?
No.
No, what's he doing?
Sleeping.
He's fast asleep. Who cares about the other guys on the boat? Hey, who cares? I got away with something. Hey, you know what? I don't care about all the Ninevites, and I don't care about the people in the boat. All I care about today is what?
Me.
That's all. I only care about who? Little old, lovable, squeezable, me. Now I know none of you would ever have your self-interest at heart. None of you are concerned with you. Are you? Probably not. When we are disobedient or we go off and do things we shouldn't be doing, we don't really care about everybody else. You know what that's called? Rugged individualism. I only got to take care of who?
Me.
The only thing I need to seek is pleasures for who?
Me.
Well, if that's true, then you ought to be a hermit living in a cabin in the middle of the woods by yourself and go have a great day. But if you belong to a structured unit called a family, you got responsibility. How many's got responsibility in this room? You got responsibility. And guess what? People are what? Watching. And not only are people watching, but how many know they're learning? How many of you have ever learned one thing you wish you had learned by watching somebody else? True. True. Jonah has affected everybody in the boat. And he doesn't even what? Care. Doesn't even care. I want you to ponder these words. We never sin alone. Ever. Or we may be alone when we sin. That's true. We may be alone when we sin. That's true. But we never sin what? Alone. It affects somebody else in your life. Our sin, our compromise, our deceitfulness always injures those around us. And who are those around us? Who are those affected mostly by what we do? Our spouse, our children, our friends, our families, our co-workers, and our church. Did you know that we're all the sum of the byproduct of everybody in this place? How many know you all have a part to play? Everybody's got a part to play. And when one of us fails, guess what? We all fail. We all fail. When one of us fail, guess what? Butch, we all fail. Every one of us. If one of us gets in trouble and you make the headlines on Channel 4 News and they say, hey, you know that person from the Faith Community Christian Church in Moon Township, you know what they did? How many people do you think is going to come to Faith Community Christian Church after that?
None.
Zero. Zero, because your sin affected who?
Everybody
else. Everybody else. And so Jonah was about ready to get what? Woken up. See, God wants to get his attention, and now he's going to get a really interesting wake-up call. He's going to get a wake-up call. And so the captain of the boat is looking around and says, hey, How is it that you're sleeping and the rest of us are dying? How is that possible? How? It's so hypocritical. How can that be? You're sleeping, you're okay with all of this, and the rest of us are what? Perishing. It's okay for you to do what you're doing and be fast asleep with it, and the rest of us are what? Dying. The rest of us are perishing. And so the captain says what? Get up. Arise. Get up. Call on what? Capital what?
G.
Who were they praying to before? Other gods. But now they want him to pray to what?
The God.
The God. His God. Perhaps your God will consider us. So that even we may not what?
Perish.
Mm-hmm. Jonah's asleep in a terrible storm. How could Jonah not realize that his life was in jeopardy? How could he not realize that all of those lives around him were in jeopardy? How could he not know this? How could he not know that the decision he made is affecting everybody around him? And they are dying. They are perishing. Perishing. How can he be sleeping And the answer is simple, church. Because he thought he outran God. He thinks he got away with it. He thinks he's off the hook. Don't worry. As my grandkids would say to me when we watched The Lion King, Hakuna what? Hakuna Matata. That's not Greek or Hebrew, it's Lion King. Anybody know what Hakuna Matata means?
Yes.
Don't worry. Hakuna Matata. Life is good for who?
Me.
Me. Because life evolves around who?
Me.
Me. All the rest of you about ready to drown? Hakuna Matata. Life is good. Thus saith who?
Me.
Thus saith me. All the sailors are in danger. Everybody on the ship in danger. Everybody is at risk of dying. And he says, how is it possible? How is it possible that you are sleeping in the storm? Oh, get up. Get up. It's time that you get a little what? Wake up call. I want you to get out of your slumber, and I want you to get up to the boat and take a look at what? What's going on? Because of your choices, we are all going to perish. The captain, we know, is a pagan because they're praying to who?
Other gods.
He's waking up Jonah. He's a pagan. They're praying to other gods. And so the pagan captain said, get up. Get up. I want you to see the danger you put us into. I want you to understand what you've done. You think you ran and you got away with it, but guess what? Your God just what? Found you. And you happen to be where? With us. Time to wake up, Jonah. Time to wake up and pray to your God. And perhaps maybe not only can he save you, but save who?
Us.
Does Jonah pray? It's important to understand. Does Jonah pray? The Bible doesn't say that he did. You would think that Jonah would get on his knees, right? You would think that Jonah would get on his knees and cry out to the Lord, Lord God, I am so sorry. But guess what, guys? Does he do that? Nope. Because he still thinks what? Got away with it. Does he repent and get on his knees and cry out to the Lord? Nope. He doesn't. The Bible doesn't tell us that he prayed because he probably didn't. And you know why? Because he's still what? Running from God. But the sailors take the matter into their own hands. And we'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to learn and grow today. Oh, Lord, we can all run, but we're not going to hide. Especially, Lord, especially when we have called you ours. Oh, Lord, when we promised to serve you, and we accepted you as the Lord of our lives. Oh, we can run. But Lord, we're not going to hide. Oh, there will be a time in our lives that we will all need a wake-up call. We will need to understand clearly that the decisions that we make affect everybody around us. Lord, help us to understand that when we sin, we may be alone when we sin, but we're not alone in the consequences of it. So Lord, as we clearly understand Jonah, and we're about ready to see what the effect has he had, help us to understand, Lord, that we're like Jonah. We're just like him. Sometimes we run from you, God, and we think we slid one under the table. Oh no, Lord, you're always watching. You're always watching. And Lord, help us to remember that the mercy that we show others will be the same mercy that's shown to us. And all of God's children said, amen.